Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
Yep. Good. So good evening.
Good evening.
On this beautiful fall evening. It doesn't feel much like fall. It's still kind of warm out there, but it's very different to the last time I spoke to this group. It was in the summer. So, but there is a change in the temperature for sure. And we don't have to have the air conditioner on, which is a blessing for me anyway. And I wonder how many of you noticed the change of the colors in and around the city and upstate, for those of you who get away on the weekends. I was up in Connecticut just a couple of weeks ago, and already the leaves where we were, wherever Connecticut is, had started to change. And so I can only imagine right now how beautiful it is. We're in Garrison next week. The week after this for our annual retreat, and it's always so beautiful. It's a real picture of the fall up there on the Hudson River around that third week of October. Leaves are incredible. The sky is different at night, different colors in the sky now. And the city seems so much different too. As the seasons change, so does New York. Fewer tourists, possibly. Seems easier to get on the subway. Folks are getting back into their regular routines on the weekend. Most New Yorkers who get away for the weekends to the island, probably settling back into the city. I haven't had my vacation yet. We get Koshin and I take vacation in November, which is the quietest time out of all the crazy times in the center for us to be away. So I'm looking forward to being on the beach in Tulum over Thanksgiving. And it's our annual retreat. No electricity, no Wi-Fi, just the beach and a hut and a suitcase full of books. It's amazing. The fall is a difficult time for me on some levels. I've probably spoken about this before, but I have always my whole life have experienced depression, it is cyclical. It tends to be more so in the around now, beginning into the winter. So I have one of those sad lamps that it's about time to haul that out of the storage unit. Can be a very difficult time of the year for those of us who suffer or live with depression. I just started to read this book by Jay Michelson. Those of you who know Jay have probably already started to read it, and if you haven't, it's actually, it's odd how these things turn up coincidentally. This morning I was looking through the books that to take away on vacation. I'm already packing. I mean, talk about living in the present moment. I'm getting my stuff sorted out for vacation in November. And this book was under a couple of others that are on the table. And then I remembered that Koshin was at a reading of this book last week. And I guess he got a copy from Jay. Actually, he did, because it says to Koshin with humor and joy, Jay. So I turned a couple of pages, and of course, you know how, as I was saying, sometimes we just turn, something turns up coincidentally. And this book, it's called The Gate of Tears, is really looking at sadness and depression. So if you are like me and do suffer with depression and have bouts of sadness once in a while, might be a worthwhile book to get a hold of. And if you don't suffer with sadness, there's plenty of books on denial you could look at. Out there, and there's a number of therapists in the room you could probably talk to. But he talks about the difference between sadness and depression. And I've only said, I only just skipped it for a few pages this morning, but already I like it a lot, so... I don't really know Jay. I met him once, so I'm not plugging his book. Because what, I have to sign one of those releases. I'm not endorsing anybody in this talk. There is a beautiful poem in here, though, that he's taken from Rilke, or a piece of a poem. It says, I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life, already lived. And held like a legend and understood, then the knowing comes. I can open to another life that's wide and timeless. So here Rilke's talking about his experience of being alone, in the aloneness, in his hours of aloneness, not so much loneliness, but aloneness. I guess the difference between sadness and depression, maybe. When he's alone in those dark hours, not the dark hours of depression, but in those dark hours, those night hours, then his mind deepens into, you know, as he said, my life as in old letters. He can use those hours to reflect on his life. But I just thought it was so... it so resonated for me, I could turn his dark hours into my dark hours, which are very different. There's a koan that I like to work with at this time of the year. For those of you who don't know what koans are teaching tools, stories that we use in the Zen tradition. They're paradoxes, they're really annoying and frustrating for some, and others love them. I fall into the tribe of finding them really annoying and frustrating. But they are incredible teaching tools. And it's usually a meeting between a student and a Zen master in there. The student is usually testing the master on his knowledge of Zen, if there is such a thing. So the one that I like to work with at this time of year, because it's seasonal, is... a monk asked Yunmen, how is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall? And Yunmen responds, body exposed in the golden wind. How is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall? Body exposed in the golden wind. So we can look at this koan in a number of different ways. And depending on where we are in our life, it will always be different. What it's pointing to really is, well, when we let all our delusions fall away, when we let all these ideas of who we are just drop away, then what's really exposed is our true nature. Once we've gotten rid of all the muck, the camouflage. So that's what this koan is pointing to. When the tree withers, when our delusions, when our I am this, I am that, me, simply falls away, then our true nature is exposed. It can also look like what happens when I die, when the tree withers and the leaves fall. What happens in that process of my dying, when my body becomes weaker, when all my defenses are no longer either needed or available. Working with this koan a couple of years ago, it was very poignant working with people who are dying to be able to see them in this way, to be able to work with someone who is in the place of not needing all those defenses, of being totally in the process, 100% in the process of dying. I was with someone a couple of weeks ago a woman in her 50s, she weighs about 70 pounds. She's been ill for a long, long time, and her husband had contacted me through, you know, a lot of people said, I don't know how they Google death in Buddhism or death and Zen priest or something, you know, but they kind of, we get a lot of calls like that come in. Could we have a Zen Buddhist priest or a Buddhist priest, not always Zen, a Buddhist priest come out to such and such, my wife is dying or my kids are dying. So I went out to visit with this woman, and the husband, it was the husband who had contacted us. And you know, I was kind of pissing and moaning because I didn't want to go out to Long Island, and it was a weekend, and I'd been here all week, and it's like enough already with schlepping, and you know, sometimes I get like that. It's like, enough with the death and dying. Let's have something else in my life. Let's have a party. So I go out to Long Island, and this wonderful, wonderful man meets me at the station, and takes me to the house, and his wife is laying in the bed. As I said, she weighs 70 pounds. And she's fully present to what is happening to her. She's been ill for about 10 years with various comorbidities, but now what's happening to her is her body is not processing the food, so it's actually starving itself. And it's not that she doesn't want to eat, but her stomach will only take so much food, and it takes hours to go through the system and be evacuated through the bowels. So it's a very long process of eating a little bit of food and then having it process and then going to the bathroom. On top of all this, she can't move because she's so fragile, so it's a very complicated life, and she's sensitive to sound and to light, movement, to touch. There's a lot going on. And she's a Buddhist practitioner, a long time practitioner, actually in the Theravadan tradition. And so I knew that I could get straight to the point around the topic of, so what does it feel like to be dying? What's going on here? And the husband and she have obviously had lots of conversations around this. And I said to the husband, I said, you know, they've only been married 12 years and she's been ill for 10 of them. I said, did you realize that you were signing up for this? He said, nope. And if I had known, I'd have walked in the other direction. This has been our life for the last 10 years. I have to do everything for her. Luckily, he works from home. He said, but no, I wouldn't have signed up for this. And his wife is laying there, you know, she's very alert, very bright. It's not like the weird, you know, the most awful thing is that she's not dying in her mind. I mean, she's very alive. It's the body that's giving up on her. And they're holding hands. And she said, you know, this is the Dharma. This is it. Had I known this is what was going to happen to me, I wouldn't have said yes when he asked me to marry him. I'd have told him to walk the other way. But this is our life. What happens when the tree withers and the leaves fall? All their ideas about their marriage. This was their second marriage for both of them. They both had children. This was their second marriage, and they were going to do their work for another 5-10 years, retire, and then go off and travel. They had a very different story planned for their life. Body exposed to the golden wind. I mean, literally, this body, this woman laying there, vulnerable, unable, if ever, God forbid, she needed to protect herself. She can't move without creating great pain for herself. Totally vulnerable. And listening to Dharma talks all day, listening to NPR, listening to jazz, which is the music that she loves, and fully, fully being in her life while she's dying. So incredible. Such a teaching of, you know, I mean, it made me feel this big from my pissing and moaning because I didn't want to go out there. Ugh, why me again? And there I am sitting in this incredible, with this incredible tableau before me. Something that could have been such anguish and pain and suffering, but actually was unfolding as such beauty. In that moment, and I'm sure it changes day by day. And the husband has to leave once a month for 3 days. A respite for himself. They have a friend come in and take care of her. Because he said, I would go insane. I need to be away from her and this life. That's another little ditty in this book of Jay's. It says, yoga for pessimists. So I want you to do this. Quick exercise. It says, relax. Come on, everybody, just get in a little, get your posture on. Relax. Allow your gaze to rest, not on one particular object. Okay? Allow your gaze to rest. Not on one particular object, but just taking in wherever you are. Feel your body, and then say slowly to yourself, things haven't turned out so bad, have they? Things haven't turned out so bad, have they? Here you are, sitting here in this beautiful room on this fall evening. And maybe you have your sadness and your depressions and your thoughts and your ideas of how life should have been for you, how different this life is you had planned. And yet here you are, in this room, in the company of others that maybe had similar ideas. I don't think any of us come to the Dharma because our life was perfect. If you're like me, you came to the Dharma because you realized how imperfect this life is and how important it is that it is imperfect. Because there are so many lessons for us to learn. so many teachings. Again, Rilke. I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life, already lived and held like a legend and understood. Then the knowing comes. I can open to another life that's wide and timeless. I think that speaks to our practice of meditation, the possibility of another life, and we open our eyes, that other life moment by moment, not I'm a different person in a different place, although I am, but to be able to sit and cherish the life I've lived, like a legend, and the one that's present to me right now. If I allow my mind to deepen into it, into possibilities. Like this woman in Long Island, allowing her mind to deepen into the possibility of a joyous death. Not the one she planned, but the one she's getting. And being fully alive while it's happening. Amazing. May all of us be so lucky. May your life go well.